Tisha B'Av, Tovshin Ayin Dalid, talk of Rav Alperin at night after Meiriv. Rav Alperin.
Once again, Chazal put us into a mindset of avelus. We've been told to sit on the floor. The lights are dimmed. No washing, no eating, no bathing. We're put into the mindset of an ovel. Just sitting in this Beis HaMedrash, how many joyous times have been experienced in this Beis HaMedrash, the beautiful singing of Hallel, Purim in this Beis HaMedrash, Simchas Torah. And now Chazal cast us into the role model of Avelus. The mindset of an Ovel is one of circumspection. An Ovel thinks and thinks again, and makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh. He makes a reckoning of all that has happened, all that has been through, everything that he's been through. Maybe that's why one of the most important aspects of a novel is yizkor. He remembers. He remembers scenes. He remembers what he's missing. Perhaps that's the reason why David HaMelech, when he mentioned Bovel, and he forecast what Bovel was going to be, he said it in this following framework. Al naro is bovel, shom yoshavnu. Gam bochinu v'zochreinu es tzion. By the rivers of Babylon, that's where we sat, and that's where we cried. Why? When we remember tzion, their mindset was set back. Interesting, one of the most beautiful places in all of the world, they say, are the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. But there was no attraction in this scenery. When they sat by the rivers of Babylon, they were b'zochreinu es tzion. There's no possible way that we can enjoy the scenery. This is a scene of avelus for us, even though the scenery perhaps is magnificent. They were asked to sing a song from tzion. How can we possibly? You're asking us to do something which is impossible. Why? I can't possibly sing a tune from the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash when I'm in such a setting. Why? Because when I remember what Tzion was, I can't. It's not possible for me. Why? Because my mindset is caught up with everything that I had. Chazal explained, it's begeder me'igro romo lebira amikto, from the splendor, from the enormous pride of the Beis HaMikdash, the most magnificent building in the world, to the chains of Babylon, when at b'zochreinu es tzion, in my mind, I'm caught up. An ovel Layaleinu is a person who can't think of all the factors which are good. He's caught up in his mind. That's the nature of Avelus. That's why tomorrow we'll say, Eish tukad bekilbi b'haloys el libi b'tzeisi mimitzroyim. Yeah, b'tzeisi b'yushaloyim. When I remember what I was like when I left Beroma, Oshiro Lashem, but say si Mirushalayim, al now is bover shom yoshavnu gam bochinu. That's the nature of the mindset of an Ovel. He's caught up in his mind of what he had and what he's missing. We, by Chazal, are ordered and stipulated to sit down on the floor and put ourselves into that mindset for 24 hours. Perhaps that's the reason why we call it beforehand Shabbos Chazoyim. Bevadai, it's talking about Chazon Yishayom, what he foresaw. But the idea is that we must look into our imagination and use a vivid imagination and conjure up in our mind the scenes of Yerushalayim, because otherwise it's almost impossible to do any aspect of Avelus. We never saw, we never experienced. Like the Moshel of the Eben Ezra, of the farm boy who married the princess. He can't possibly please her. Why? Because what she has seen and what he can give her, they never meet. She's seen the palace and he's seen the farm. He can't satisfy her. Similarly, we are in a situation we can't imagine. We weren't there. We can't be blamed, but we have an imagination and we're obliged to use our imagination and conjure up the scene. We do it on Leila Seder. Chayav Odom Laharos Es Atzmoy Ki'ilu Yotza. We do it on Yom Kippur, very successfully. We walk in and Slicha, Mechira, and Kapora. You take a look at everybody saying Tfilah Zakah. The imagination immediately comes as up. I must take this seriously. This is a time when the books are sealed. Tisha B'Av is harder because the imagination must work much, much with more sensitivity, because there's nothing we can latch onto, there's nothing we can perceive. We never saw it, and therefore we are in some way takua, we're stuck. But with the imagination, you imagine Simchas Beis HaShoeva, you imagine the enormous zrizus and enthusiasm of the Kohanim. A father would take a son up on Har HaBayis and walk through the Ezras Noshim and take a look at the 15 steps going up. Underneath the 15 steps of the courtyard, he would hear the Levium training for 5 years. You can watch the Levium training. You go up the 15 steps and you have a small alleyway. And from there you can see on the right-hand side the Tzofen of the Mizbeach and watch people bringing a Kolban and see them being Mevadeh B'Kol Alev with a Kolban and do Smicha on a Kolban. And watch the Kohen Gadol come out and the Nisim and the Harabayis and the Eish going up and the rain falling, but yet the Eish is straight. And all these unbelievable miracles, with an imagination, you can live the scene. That's what's required on Tisha B'Av. To let one's imagination run wild. Goodness, we do it so many times with such dusim and havolim. Maybe that's the whole problem. On Tisha B'Av, we should sit down and consider a minute, use our imagination and thoughts and go further. Rabbeisai, we sit on the floor and we are in Avelus for only 24 hours. The families of those 63 Chayalim are almost in permanent Avelus. 63 of the choicest of boys, lay aleinu in fresh graves. Azeh hayot ovel libeinu, young soldiers. Young boys, that's also in our mindset of Tisha B'Av. Boys who were taken, who was just beginning in the prime of their life, that's also in our mindset of Avelus. For 24 hours, can't we think of those parents who have a lifetime of Avelus? As soon as the war began, I went to a doctor. I had to see him for something. A traditional person, not necessarily a Haredi by any means. And since I learn in the Mir, in the Koilel, I told him, you know what was going on in the mir? Someone came in with hundreds of pairs of tzitzis. I wanted him to hear what we're doing in the mir yeshiva, and everybody had to sit down, bein astorim, and make up tzitzis for the chayalim. I wanted to impress him. And in front of me, he broke down crying. He said, thank you very much for that information. My grandson died a few days ago in Gaza. He was broken. Broken for life. Not 15 minutes from here. Three young boys. not even just teenagers. Were taken away. Al zeh hoyo dover libeinu. Libeinu shalayla. See our avelus. See what we're thinking. It's not just b'zochreinu es tzion. Our memories must be very, very alert. We must be aware of what is going on in the land, not just in our history. That's why Rav Schwab, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, composed one. It's almost impossible for us to think of the Shoah and imagine it, what tragedy has gone through our people. Oh, but it's all included in Tisha B'Av, in the Avelus. The Briskerov once explained, it's impossible to perceive the Avelus that we must feel for what happened in Europe. And he gave a moshel. If you're moving home and the movers come in and they take a cupboard which is very large and they walk towards the door, said the Briskerov, you'll scream out and you'll say, stop, 1 minute. That cupboard cannot go through that door. Stop, please, take it apart. So the movers say, okay, I'll take it apart. No, completely take it down, piece by piece. You'll never get it through the door unless you completely dismantle the cupboard. Said Bubiskarov, just a number, impossible to perceive. Take it down, narrow it down to a single individual miser that can pass through the brain. Maybe one miser. Then you can suddenly realize, what does it mean? Al zeh hayo dover libeinu, not just on the Beis HaMikdash, not just on those soldiers, but if we're really thinking and perceiving, our mindset and our imagination must be vivid on such a day, at least for 24 hours. Rav Gusman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the famous Rosh Yeshiva in Rechavia, at the age of 20 became a Rosh Yeshiva, became a dayan on the Beis Din of Rav Chaim Oizer in Vilna. He came to Eretz Yisrael, he was almost unknown, but many say if you wanted a taste of what a godel, an Odom godel in Vilna looked like, you would go and hear on Thursday morning the shiur of Rav Gusman. It was a profound shiur. People came. I went and saw Reb Shlomo Zalman sitting listening to the shiur. It was a phenomenal shiur on Thursday morning. Sitting in the group was a famous professor who later won the Nobel Prize for Economics in 2005, Professor Alman, was sitting there as well. He loved Torah, he learned, and he used to come on Thursday to hear the shiur. In 1982, his son fell in battle. Rav Gusman mobilized the whole yeshiva, and they all went to Har Herzl for the Levaya. He took one look at the rows of soldiers, of young men who had died, and broke down, and turned around and said, Kulam Kedoshim. One of the Bachrim turned around and said, Rebbe, but many of them were irreligious. Rav Gusman turned around with great emphasis and said, Ani amati lachem, Kulam Kedoshim. He sat there, he went to the funeral, he went to the shiva, and then at the house he sat next to Professor Alman and said the following, you probably don't know, but I had a son, a young boy who was an outstanding child called Meir, who was snatched from my hand and killed in front of my eyes. They executed him in front of me. I bargained with them, I bargained as much as I could, and they promised, they gave me his shoes. And I had no food, so I had to sell the money for the shoes. And I didn't even eat the food, because other people were more starving than me. said Rav Gusman to Professor Alman, my mayor is in the minyan in Shamayim, in Gan Eden, of the Holy Ones. Professor Alman, but your son is in an entirely different room. He is a Shliach Tzibur. My son, Meir, died because he was a Jew. Your son died because he was protecting Klal Yisrael. He's a Shliach Tzibur. He's even greater. Said the professor to the Rav Gusman, Rebbe, Nichamtoni, and I never thought I'd get there because of the words you told me. Kulam Kedoshi. And those three boys, and all of those Hashem Yimkom Domo. Just one, take one cupboard and dismantle it and put it through the door, like the Briskorov said. The Av Beis Din in Brisk, the Simcha Zelig Riga, Adam Godel Ma'oid Ma'oid, the Chaim made him into the Av Beis Din in Brisk. Talmud of the Netziv, he learnt in Volozhin. The age of 20, he was new Kol Ashas V'Kol HaPoiskim. When eventually the Av Beis Din, when the Beis HaLevi died in Brisk, they took him into Brisk, Reb Chaim made him the Av Beis Din, and all the Gedolei Torah, the Poiskim in Brisk, refused and said a young person like this, and they suddenly realized who he was. He was such so chamud, a Talmud of the Ma'aril Diskin. He was such an outstanding Poisek in every aspect of Torah. The Balabatim, who didn't really have understanding at all of who this was, came and complained to Reb Chaim and said, your Av Beis Din is a lazy good for nothing. He said, Reb Chaim, what are you talking about? He said, the whole time he sleeps in the Beis HaMedrash. Reb Chaim went to see what he meant. What are you talking about? He watched and he saw, they were right. Whenever they came and Dav and Shachbis Mincha Ma'ariv, Reb Simcha Zelig was sleeping. He learned Kol HaYoyim V'Kol HaLayla. And when it came to davening in Shul, it disturbed his learning, so he fell asleep in Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, and that was all. Eventually they came looking for the Briskorov, and he'd fled already to Krenitsa, and then he'd gone to Vilna, to Warsaw, and from Warsaw he fled to Vilna. And when he was in Vilna, they came looking for him in Brisk. They couldn't find him, so they took, he lived one flight above the Briskorov. They took him down, took him for hours and hours to the station, cut off his beard, he had the most magnificent beard, threw him down the stairs, cut his face, and as they threw him down the stairs, they said, and Rabina Rav, don't forget to come back tomorrow and pay us 5 rubles for the haircut we gave you. And the brutality was terrible. He and many of the great Gedolim in Brisk were slaughtered. Hashem Yimkom Domo. Yiskarein Elokeinu L'toivo Im Sh'or Tzadikei Oilam V'yinkoim Le'ineinu Nikmas Dam Avodot HaShofuch Kakasu B'Zoyros Moshe Harininu Goyim Amoy Ki Damot Avodot Yikoim V'Nokom Yoshiv L'Tzorov. These are the thoughts which must run through our mind in the course of a Tisha B'Av. An Ovel thinks. He's got nothing else to do. He sits on the floor and he considers the Bote Mikdoshim, the soldiers who died, the Shoya, and he considers Ribon Shel Olam, Al Zeh Hayod Ovel Yibeinu. But we just read just now in Eicha the following two lines. Zois Oshiv El Libi Al Kein Oichil Chastei Hashem Ki Loi Samnu Ki Loi Cholu Rachamov. In some ways the Avelis of Tisha B'Av is an illusion. For people like us, we sit on the floor and we consider these facts in our imagination. But inevitably, we must turn round in our mind and say, Ribono Shel Olam, goodness me, never in my life have I ever expected to be able to stay and live in Eretz Yisrael. Chofetz Chaim never got here. Vilna Gaon never got here. Thousands never got here. And I did. Ribbono Shel Olam, how many people had an opportunity to sit and learn Torah like I have? I'm speechless for what you've done for me. How many people have an opportunity to learn a Daf HaYomi in their lives? My father didn't, Oliver Shonam. The previous door never had those opportunities to live in a community which thrives on a Shabbos, on a Yom Tov, on Chesed, on learning Torah, on building shuls, on Rabbonim who are Mosul, Lekehila. How many people in Klal Yisrael have had an opportunity like we had? Ribbono Shel Olam, we are overwhelmed with the Chasdei Hashem ki lo yisamnu, ki lo cholu rachamav. These are the thoughts which go into Tisha B'Av. Because on the one hand, we cry when we consider all that we lost. Me'igra Roma labira amikto. But misad sheni, the chesed which we have received is also part of the circumspection of an ovel. Because he realizes who has these opportunities. I came to Eretz Yisrael, and my wife and I said, for 2 years, we can't manage more. That was 34 years ago. And how many people are in the same position? How many people have an opportunity to hear in their lives to hear a Shia and not get caught up with December the 25th and the World Series and all the narishkeit which goes, here you have a life of purity, of Torah. It's overwhelming, the chesed that we have received, which goes into the cheshbon also of Tisha B'Av. Because that's the tzad of Al Kein Oichil, Chasdei Hashem Ki Lo Yisamnu Racham. Over 2,500 missiles were sent over. And how many of them hit? They all missed. That's an unbelievable chesed of Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it mean to receive the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does it mean that it makes you humbled on Tisha B'Av? And you suddenly realize, what on earth I've received in my life? Someone is giving me tremendous chusim. No question, these 63 and the 3 boys. No question, what they did in their lives saved Klal Yisrael. They gave up their lives for us. All the prayers which were said. No question. It's all in their chusim. But nothing hit. There was a famous shiur given by Rebbetz and Judith Grunfeld discussing the concentration camps. And she said the following idea and thought. This was several years ago, but she said, in your mind's eye on Tisha B'Av, this is what you must picture. The smoke coming up from Bergen-Belsen and Auschwitz and all the camps goes up and lifts up into heaven all the smoke and comes down and settles on Mir Yeshiva, Lakewood Yeshiva, Ponovich Yeshiva, Brisk Yeshiva, Philadelphia, and all these Mekoymos HaTorah are all built from the smoke of the concentration camps. She gave that image, and someone drew a picture and showed it to her. And she said, that's exactly what I meant. We are the recipients of these great souls. There's no question, in their schus, we live and enjoy a Shabbos and learn Daf HaYomi and enjoy a community like we have here. There's no question, it's all in their schus. The miracles which have taken place. A group of soldiers entered into Gaza and went into a building. They decided to divide up and each would take a different room. It was a room where much ammunition was being stored by Hamas. They each went into a different room. There was a large room like a salon, and one chayal stood by one window, and the other chayal stood at the other window. And they guarded and looked out the windows to see if there were any snipers. And they stood there for a while. It was quiet. And one of the chayalim, in the two in the room, one against the window, took out a backpack, and took out a care package that someone had bought from Yerushalayim. He opened up the package, and there were cakes and goodies and cookies, and inside all the cakes was a letter. Ani Shmuli me Yerushalayim. Chayal Yakar. Ani afiti elu bishulcha. Aval ani mevakesh mimcha. Na lagid brocha lifnei ata ochel et ha'ugiyot sheli. Please make a brocha. He was a chiloni and didn't know what it meant. Moshe, the other end of the room, a chayal who was shomer Torah mitzvahs, he called out and he said, Moshe, what does this mean, a brocha? Moshe walked over to the other side of the room, showed him how to say a mezoinos, and that side of the room got blown up as Moshe was on the other side of the room helping him make a brocha. Misha osa nisim lavoisena. My son goes to a shir in Ramot every Thursday night. He told me, Abba, we finished the shir, and sitting in the shir was an engineer from the military air force. He comes every week to hear the shir. At the end of the shir, he told us the following. I'm an engineer. For years, I've been working on all the planes when they come back. Every time they finish a mission, whether it's peaceful, whatever it is, any sortie that they go out for, when they come back, it's my job to check everything on the plane that it can go out as soon as it's needed. So as soon as it lands, I take the plane and I check everything. Every time a plane comes in, without fail, something needs fixing. Every plane, a light, a tire, something in the engine, something needs fixing every time a plane comes back. He told the whole shir. My son was sitting there in the shir. When once the war began, he said he's been in this job for years. Every plane always needs fixing. As soon as the war began, every plane has come back, has never needed any tikkun whatsoever. Unbelievable chesed. Chaste Hashem ki lo yisamnu, ki lo cholu rachamov. Rabbi Shai, there are two sides to our avelus. On the one hand is the reflective thought of all that we had of the Tiferes of Yerushalayim, of the great Rabbonim and the Talmidei Chachomim who we missed, and all that has happened in avelus in Klal Yisrael. But there's another side to the avelus, is the Zois Oshiv El Libi Al Kein Oichim. Perhaps this is what Shlomo HaMelech meant when he said the following idea, the following thoughts. Mitzauni Hashoimrim, Hasoivavim Boeir. The guards found me, those who surround the city. Says the Gaon, it refers to Nebuchadnezzar. Hikuni, they beat me, says the Gaon. That's Misas Talmidei Chachomim. Petzauni, they blew up my buildings. They destroyed my land. Nosu esrediti meolai, shoy me achoimais. They took away my crown, says the Gaon. That's Michoel the Gabriel. They took away the Beis Hamikdash, Chuban Hamikdash, Chuban of Klal Yisrael, Chuban of Eretz Yisrael. Says Klal Yisrael back to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Hishbati Esrem Benois Yerushalayim. But I swear, Benois Yerushalayim, says the Gaon, it refers to the Umas HaOlam. Im Timsu Es Doidi, with all my suffering which I've been through, Matagidu Loi, what's my Drishat Shalom to Ribbono Shel Olam? Ki Choyel Hazava Oni. I'm deeply in love with you. With all that's gone on, I stay close to you. And that is the two sides of the Avelus. On the one hand, Mitzauni Hashoimrim Hikuni Pitzauni, Ava Mitzad Sheni Raboisai, Ki Choylas Ava Oni. Look what I've been spared from. Over 2,500 missiles. over 39 missiles from Saddam Hussein. Look, look at the miracles. That's the other side. That's the reflection. That's the cheshbon ha-nefesh, which the Ovel has to make in his imagination, included in all that's going on in the 24 hours. But it's difficult. It's difficult because to hold all these thoughts together, you search for the Avelus amongst all the chesed. And you ask yourself, so how do I keep the halachas of Tisha B'Av? How do I keep a clear mind? The answer is, you have to be a professional. You can't be an amateur. There's a certain characteristic about a professional. A professional never gets sidetracked. Take a conductor of an orchestra. You can have a whole commotion going on. He's trained to take no notice from any distraction. Why? He's a professional musician. Take a look at a judge in a court, and someone can throw him something which is an idea which is totally irrelevant, a red herring. He throws it out. Why? Because he's a professional. He doesn't get sidetracked by issues. Take a top surgeon in a hospital. In the time when he's doing, he doesn't get sidetracked. He looks for the point and he follows through with complete, a keen mind, like a laser beam. He's totally incapable of being distracted. Why? He's a professional. After all the years, Rabbeinu, we are professional availing. For many years we've been doing this, sitting on the floor. We shouldn't become distracted. An amateur becomes distracted. A professional knows what it's all about. There was in the history of Klal Yisrael probably one of the most professional availing of all. And that was perhaps Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Not because he experienced so many years of Tisha B'Av, because we know he didn't. He lived through the Beis HaMikdash and then saw its Churban. But because of the enormous amount of Torah that he knew, and he understood the consequences of Churban Beis HaMikdash, he is perhaps one of the most significant role models of what does it mean to be a professional Ovel. Here's a maisa that happened. In Ovos de Reb Nosson, Pevek Yud Dalet, there's recalled that he had a son who died. And the Talmidim came in to Menachem Ovel. Rabbi Eliezer came in and said, Rabbeinu, Odom HaRishon lost a child, so you should also be Misnachem, because Odom was Misnachem. Said Odom HaRishon, that doesn't help me, just to know that Odom HaRishon also lost a child. A while later, Rabbi Yeshua came in, said, Rebbe, Eoiv lost the whole family, and he was Misnachem, so you should also be Misnachem. Said Rabbi Yeshua, that doesn't help me. Just because someone else had a tzal, it makes my feeling even worse. Rabbi Yossi came in and said, Aaron lost two sons, it doesn't help me. Rabbi Shimon came in and said, Rebbe, David HaMelech lost a child, it doesn't help me. All these Talmidim don't help me at all. In came Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Gaon says it was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. He came in and said as follows, Rebbe, I want to tell you a moshel of a king who asked one of his ministers, his courtiers, to hold on to a treasure he had because he was going overseas. He left, and every day the courtier, the minister, trembled because maybe something will be lost and missing from all that the king had given him. It took a while and the king returned. And then he gave back all the money that the king had deposited with him. The king turned round and said, you're trustworthy. You did the tafkid that I asked you to do. Said Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Rabbi, you did everything you could for this child. You had a tafkid, and you filled your tafkid, and you gave back what you were given in the best possible way. Said Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Nichamtoni Kederech Shebnei Adam Misnachamim. What do we learn from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? Nechama for Avelos comes only from one mindset, that you were Mekayim a Tafkid. Turning around and telling other people that other people suffered is not a Nechama. But when one realizes that there was a Tafkid to do and I fulfilled it, then already there's Nechama. Why on earth, Rabboisai, after 1,946 years, why are we still mourning about the Beis HaMikdash? Why has there been no Nechama? Don't we do it properly on Tisha B'Av? Don't we make a Zeicha L'Churban? Why is it that we're still mourning? Surely we did what we had to do every Tisha B'Av. The answer is because we haven't been Mekayim the Tafkid. The reason for the Churban was because of one particular aspect. That Nekuda has not been fulfilled. And with all the Avelus and the Zichwain and the mindset and the Zayis Oshiv El Libi, Chasdei Hashem, nevertheless we still sit on the floor. Why? The Maharal explains in Netzach Yisrael, Perek Dalet, Bayis Rishayin was a continuation of the Mishkan in the Midbar, V'shachanti B'Soichon, amongst them. Meaning, the Hashroas Hashchina in Bayis Rishayin was because of the greatness of Odom. Like in the Midbar, so by the temple. It was the greatness of a human being. By worshipping Avodah Zorah, Odom abused his neshama, which is thought. The mind was taken up with thoughts of idol worship. By Shvichas Domim, he abused the koyach of the ruach, the spirit of life, the ruach chayim. By Gilu Arayos, he was metame his guf, his nefesh. He was mekalkel, the gadlus ha'odom. And that's why there was a churban. Gilu Arayos, Shvichas Domim, Avodah Zorah. Bayis Sheini had a different motive. The reason why we had a Bayis Sheini was the gadlus of Klal Yisrael. From the minute it was built, they knew it was never going to last. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky has a beautiful maimer on the Pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem in Emes LeYaakov, and he explains, that's why we kept Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, and all the names of the Amoraim, Aramean words. Why? Because it was always known it wouldn't be forever. We would go back into Golas. They knew it wasn't a Kiyum. There was no Oroim, but they knew where it was. Why didn't they bring it out? Because it wasn't a permanent structure. So why were they given it? Says the Maharal, they were given it because Klal Yisrael needed a chizuk. But calls a man that there's no Ahavo in Klal Yisrael, therefore, it's lost. The purpose of the Bayis Sheni was to create a chibul by Yehi Bishuun Melech B'Sasev Roshei On Yachad, the Achdus in Klal Yisrael. Because they had Sinas Chinam, it was Mekalkel, the Mikdosh. It was for the benefit of the people, and the people with Sinas Chinam ruined that purpose of Bayis Sheni. That's the Tafkid, which hasn't yet been renovated and cleared up. Adayin Shalom Nivne B'Yomeinu, Kilu Nechrav B'Yomeinu. And that's why we don't have a Bayis Shlishi. And that's the reason why we sit every year still on the floor and we still have no Nechama from the Bayis Sheni, because we haven't been Mekayim the Tafkid. It's Sinas Chinam and it still lives with us. I would like to suggest a Moshul, but the Moshul has no personal connection whatsoever. It's a Moshul. Again, I repeat, the Moshul has no personal connection whatsoever, in any way whatsoever. It's purely a Moshul. In our times, there is a Machala, Lo Yaleinu. People don't even give it the name. They call it Yena Machna. But it's very serious. It's very strange, this machla. It's not like polio, or tuberculosis, or malaria. It can affect absolutely any limb. It can affect a finger. It can affect a jaw. It can affect a toe. It can affect an eye. It can affect a lip. It has no limit whatsoever of its range of where it can fall. Secondly, this machla is very strange because there's no limit of who can receive it, loyaleinu. It can be a child, it can be an old man, it can be a young girl, it can be a young man. It can go onto a tzaddik, it can hit a rosha. It can hit a president, it can hit a dustman, it can hit a fisherman, it can hit anybody. It has no limit whatsoever. Thirdly, it's very strange because it's extremely sinister. This machala, lo yaleinu chas v'sholem, you turn up at the doctor, and he says to you, where were you? You're too late. You should have come a year ago. I have no idea. That's the problem. It's sinister, and it's underhand, and you never knew it was there. Fourthly, this machala creates tremendous pachad amongst people. Lo yaleinu chas v'sholem, for those reasons. It has no limit. It has no area, any area of any type, of any age, of whatever. And you have no idea that it's there. If that's the machala of the age, there's a curse of the age. The age that we're living in, the curse is sinas chinam. You can have sinas chinam because of someone's shoes that they're wearing. You can have it because of his car. You can have it because he plays the piano so beautifully. You can have sinas chinam because of a dress a lady is wearing. You can have sinas chinam because of a chumash she's using. You can have sinas chinam because of a tie he's wearing. I once went to give a shiur in New York. And I arrived early. It was a women's shiur on Shabbos afternoon. And the lady, the hostess, said to me, go inside the kitchen, take a cup of tea until everybody's ready. So I sat inside the kitchen. It was perhaps one of the most magnificent kitchens I've ever been in. It was an unbelievable kitchen. I sat and had the tea. And while I was sitting there, another woman came in who had come for the shiur and stood in the kitchen, looked around, stared around everywhere, and turned around and said, with a loud voice, why did my husband not give me a kitchen like this? She said it out aloud. I almost fell off the chair. She said it aloud. She probably had the most magnificent kitchen, number two, but it wasn't like number one. You can have sinas chinam for any reason whatsoever. Number two, you can have sinas chinam against a baby, against an Adam Godel, against a taxi driver. You can have sinas chinam on a young boy, a young girl, on a rov. You can have sinas chinam on anybody. There's no limit to who you can have sinas chinam from. Number three, la'aleinu chas v'sholem, you have no idea if someone has sinas chinam, because it's all in the mind. There's naught to tell the mind's construction in the face. You never know. A person can be smiling at you and hate you. You don't know. It's so sinister. It's so underhand. You never know that it's there. It's awful. For what? For nothing. Because, I don't know, I have a beautiful talis bag. because I have a nice pair of shoes, because I have a good voice for anything and anybody, and you never know that it's there. Oh, Rabbeisai, but there's a major problem. The moshul falls to pieces because everybody is terrified of the machala, but no one is terrified of sinas chinam. There's a noirad ayom. Ein pachad. He's a Chabadska. He's a Sephardi. He's a foolish American. He wears a kippah sluga. He doesn't wear a hat when he's davening. It's ridiculous. No one's scared. It's freely available on the open market. You drink it like tap water. You talk about people. You say anything you want. You show hatred. Who cares? No one's scared. That's why we're still sitting here. That's the problem. There's no pachad. And therefore, there's no mamale the tafkid. We see what we lost. We're broken by the 63 and the three boys. We're heartbroken when we hear stories of the Holocaust. We're overwhelmed by the nisim and the miraculous miracles which these people have wrought for us. We are aware of the Rebbetzin Grunfeld's picture. It's all in our mind in front of us. It's not lacking. But we're not mamali the tafkid. It's still there. It hits anybody and you don't know you've got it. And that's the problem. There's no fear. We're not scared of saying something bad. We're not scared of thinking bad about somebody. If we would, then we wouldn't be here on the floor. This room would be lit up, and there'd be music playing, like on Purim, like on Simchas Torah. We wouldn't have to go through these 3 weeks. It would all be a passing cloud, and it's gone, but it's still there. Because we're not scared. We are literally, we walk around with it in our minds, in our behavior, in our conversation. If we can clear this up, if we can take care of this, it's an awful moshul. It's not personal by any means. It has no reference whatsoever to anybody. But it's the curse of the door, like the machala is. If we can take care of it, then no more will we cry and say, Al zeh hayod ove libeinu, al eile choshru einenu. No way. It'll all be gone. V'nafach, v'tzeisi, v'mitzroyim, v'shuvi, Yerushalayim, Amen.